Well, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be here. My prayer is that Pastor would come back really soon. A church needs a pastor. They don't need a preacher. They need a pastor. Pastors do preach, but there's a huge difference between preaching and then having a pastor. And so I'm praying, and we do pray every night in our family devotions for Pastor and Amy and the girls. And I know it's probably a very challenging time at certain times, especially, and we do pray and we'll continue to pray. But thank you for having me these past few weeks. I don't mind. It's a pleasure. We don't live far from here, so it's kind of convenient. And normally we would be at Greater Portland Baptist Church, which I like to be at too, but it's a little bit further. But I want to be a blessing if I'm able to. And I hope we're trying to be a blessing and encouragement and a help for Pastor and the church. And we've been preaching on different things each Wednesday. I think about 4 weeks ago, I preached on how to have a peaceful life, the peace of God in your heart. And then the following Wednesday, we talked about how to have a fruitful life. And then I think it was last week, we talked about how to have a worshipful life in Christ. And today, the topic is how to have a hopeful life, hopeful life. And so I try to be encouraging and uplifting. That's my goal on these Wednesdays, and just to teach the Word of God. And it's been a blessing for me as I've studied for these lessons. They're all fresh lessons. I've studied for Wednesday. And so you guys are getting something that's kind of refreshing to me, and it's a help to me. And I'm just sharing what I've learned on Wednesday night with you. And so how to have a hopeful life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for just the opportunity. We really enjoy coming here, my wife and kids, and being here at this church. And friends, and we want to be a help and encouragement. Again, I do pray for Pastor and Amy and the girls as they're going through this with their dad. I pray, Lord, that we would see you work in his life and healing. And again, like was said, I don't even really know how to pray, but that your will and way would be done, and that he could be back here in his place and doing what he loves and what we need here as a church. And Lord, just bless this time as I try to open up your word and share some things that you've taught me. I pray that it would be an encouragement and a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. How to have a hopeful life. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Let's see if I can. It says this: for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Again, the foretime is the Old Testament, but we referring to the whole Word of God, the comfort, the patience, and that the Word of God gives us, and the hope. And hope. Hope is one of those biblical characteristics that should distinguish a Christian from those who do not know the Lord. Only a Christian could have true hope. The Apostle Paul wrote that without Christ, we have no hope and are without God in this world. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says this, that at the time we were called, we were without Christ, we were being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of the promise. And then he says this, having no hope and without God in the world. So a God with no, if we don't have God, there's really no hope. And that's what the Apostle Paul is teaching. Romans again, 15 verse 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound through hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So when we get saved, we get the Holy Ghost, and now there's an opportunity of hope because there's hope in Christ. And when you have Christ, you have hope. And we're filled with joy and peace and believing and abound in hope. When you define hope in the dictionary, or I should say hopeful, it says having manifesting hope. So what does that hope again mean? It means to look forward with confidence or expectation, to expect or desire. You're looking forward to something. In this case, there's hope in Christ. We're not here, and this is the best that we get. Think about it for a second. The unsaved person, the best that they're ever going to get is here on earth. Because it gets much bad. Worse, it gets really bad after they die. And so we have hope. This is the worst that we're going to go through here. Because we're expecting much better when we die. So how sad that is when you think about it. The best that an unsaved person has to, that they're going to ever experience is here on earth. And that's a sad commentary there. So we have hope. We look forward. We have confidence or expectation. We expect something. As a Christian, our hope is not found in things. Sometimes we get kind of confused, how I do. Things will make me happy or hopeful. But we get things and, oh wow, we got them. And they wear out and we want a new one. Okay. It's just continuing to have need. And it doesn't meet the true need that Christ does. And so, sometimes we think people, they'll give us what we need. People will give us, but that's not true. We've learned, huh? We get people in our life and we get disappointed sometimes, and people disappoint us, and I disappoint people, and we're people. It's good to have people. I'm not saying it's not good. We need people, but that's not going to fulfill that void in our life for hope. So things, people, and money, again, we have example after example of people who have money, but we learn later on they're living without hope and sometimes even taking their life. And they have everything that you would think that they would need, or at least have access to it. So again, as a Christian, our hope is not found in things. It's not found in people. It's not found our money. Our hope is in the Lord. It's in the Lord. And thank God we have the Lord. So again, the reminder is, hope is something that we look forward to. There's something better. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Let me read this real quick here. Be Psalms 31, verse 24, it says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, and all ye that hope in the Lord." So he's saying, be of good courage. We have to be courageous. And the Lord will strengthen our heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. Again, there's hope where? In the Lord. It's our hope is in the Lord. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says this, "For ye are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." Again, when you have Jesus Christ, when you have faith in God, you could have the hope. You'll have hope. So again, Ephesians 5:1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Because we're God's children, there's hope. We need salvation, and when we get saved, there's hope. And when you become a child of God, there's hope. Think about it, our children. When they're little, young children don't worry about food, clothing, or housing, because it's their father's responsibility to provide these things. At least that's the way it should be. So as children of God, we have hope because of our Heavenly Father. You know what He provides for us? Food, clothing, housing. He provides everything. So when you become part of the family of God, you're like that child who has a provider that takes care of their needs. Hey, I'm just trying to show us how, as children of Christ, how we're taken care of. We have a Heavenly Father. And as God's children, we need not worry, because we are hopeful of our Heavenly Father will provide what we need. And He does, because of our hope. Salvation brings hope. Coming in to the family of God as children, there's hope. God will provide. Amen. Somebody say amen. God will provide. Amen. He'll take care of our needs. And that's the way we should be as children of God. Hey, really, my kids don't worry about what we're going to eat. They don't worry about where they're going to sleep. They don't worry about where they, what clothes they're going to wear. We have all that provided for them. And we too have a provider in Christ Jesus. We're children of God. So again, the hope that we get comes from God. I don't have to worry about those things. God will take care of them. And then we could have hope, number two, because He has a purpose for our life. He has a will for our life. Aren't you glad about that? He has a plan. We need to be in that plan. We need to follow His plan. But the truth is, He has a plan. Psalms 37, verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Again, I always remind those kids in the juvenile detention center about, hey, you need to be in God's plan. And when you're in God's plan, you're in a good place. You'll be taken care of. God will order your steps, and it'll be a good way. It'll be a good path. It'll be a good journey. And we too, church membership, Christians, we need to remind ourselves, hey, let's follow God. Let's follow His will. And we will have hope in knowing that He'll take care of us. Psalms 143, verse 8 says, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." So there's hope in knowing that God has a plan for my life. God has a purpose for my life. And as long as I'm in His purpose, as long as I'm in His plan, hey, there's hope. I don't have to worry. There's hope. Psalms 143, verse 10 says, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." Again, it's when you follow God, you're in a good path. There's hope. There's hope. And so, because of His will, there's hope. God's will speaks of His purpose and plan for our life as His children. First and foremost, God's will is discovered through prayer and scripture. So you want to be in God's will, you need to pray. You need to get into the Word of God. You need to find out what He wants. And like that child, like that parent, and He guides His children, and He's going to lead us, and we will be okay. Everything will work out. God is in charge. God is in control. And boy, that brings us hope. I don't have to worry, because God is in charge. He orchestrates everything. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't. So what am I going to do? I'm just going to follow Him. And when I follow Him, it'll be okay. And there's hope in that. So we're His children. He has a plan for us. And that brings hope. So according to the Apostle Paul, God's word has given to is given to strengthen us and give us hope. Romans 15:4 says this, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." So again, we need to read this word. We need to study this word. We need to have devotions in the word of God, and there's hope. And you guys know the scripture gives us hope. It gives us promises. And I'm reminding you of those verses today of how there's hope in His word. And He gives us promises, and we just need to hang in there. The phrase, whatsoever things were written aforetime refers to, yes, the promises of that God has given us in the word of God. Paul uses the word hope over 40 times. Hope. There's hope, guys. There's hope. We have hope in Christ. We have hope as His children. We have hope because He has a plan for our life. He has a will for our life. And the scriptures remind us over and over and again that there's hope. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. There's hope. There's hope in Christ. Let's compare that to the unsaved person. They don't have any of those promises. They're on their own. And that's why they work and so try to gain and to look for happiness, but it's never there because they're all looking in the wrong place. It's in Christ that we have hope. So Christians, I remind us today, hey, there's hope. There's hope. And let's not forget that. And I know we know that, but let's live it out. Let's live like there's hope in our life. We have examples of David in the book of Psalms, verse 16, verse 9. "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." Jeremiah reminds us of the hope that he has in Jeremiah 17, verse 7. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out his roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Again, he's saying there's hope. It's like the tree who just knows they're going to survive, they're going to prosper, they're going to get through this. And we too, as Christians, need to remind ourselves, like David did and like Jeremiah did and many other people in the Bible, hey, we have Christ. We have God. And there's hope. And we're going to get through this. And we're going to be fruitful. And we're going to be strong. We have the promises of God. So what does the Bible say about a hopeful life? And we'll park it right here for a little bit. Let's look at Job and his life. We know about Job, a hopeful life. On certain occasions, though, sometimes we as Christians lose hope. Job did. And Job, if we're reminded in Job 1:1 that he was an upright one, he feareth God, he was a man of God, and he stood away from evil. The Bible tells us there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and that feareth God and escheweth evil. In other words, he avoided evil. He abstained from evil. So here he is, a man of God. Job, God's man. Job was a man of extraordinary godliness and wealth. He had a lot of money. But we know the story of Job. What happened? But he lost it all. You know the plan, the devil and God, and they were kind of just saying, let me test Job. And he put Job to the test. God allowed, by the way. It was God allowing him to be tested. He had to get permission from God. But he lost it all. He suffered bankruptcy, bereavement, health. There was bitterness in his family. His wife was looking to blame somebody. Even his three friends, remember that? Eliphaz suggested Job must have been guilty of some sin in his life for this to happen to him. But remember, God said he was a godly man. He abstained from evil. Job knew he was right with God, but yet these things were happening to him. Beldad supposed that Job was guilty of sin. That other friend came and was getting counsel to Job and said, "What have you done? There must have been something you've done wrong." Zophar directly said to Job, "He was guilty of sin. You're sinners. This is why this is happening to you." Some of his best friends and even his wife discouraged him in one of the hardest times of his life. But thank God the story doesn't end like that. Job, he got discouraged. Job 13:15, he said this, "Though he slay me." So Job was definite being slayed. The Bible said that. "Though they slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him." So Job had it within himself to hang in there and to trust God during one of the most difficult times in his life. Obviously, he lost everything. Job 23:10 says this, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he trieth me, I shall come forth as gold." So he had hope. There's hope that Job had. And then he said in Job 42:10, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed to his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." So God blessed him through it all. And he gave him double of what he had before. But I bring you back to Job 6:11. When Job was feeling like, what is going on? And he was losing hope. "What is my strength that I should hope?" Job 6:11. "And what is mine end that I should prolong life?" Sounds like he's saying, man, I just want to die. I can't go through this anymore. So Job felt the pressure. Have you ever felt the pressure? Job did. Have you ever questioned God? And by the way, Job kind of did, so it's okay. We could sometimes wonder why things are happening in our life. It's okay. But I also want to remind you that there's hope. But sometimes when you're going through it, it doesn't seem like there's hope. Or at least the devil's going to come and kind of challenge you about that hope, like he did Job. But there is hope. And it ends well, and we know how the ending is. Everything worked out, and he got double back what he had before. But there were some challenging times there. There are some tough times. Kind of just thinking back, what are those tough times that you've been through? Or maybe you're going through. But I also want to remind you there's hope. And we all been there. We all have had those challenges. I was kind of thinking today about some of the challenges that our family has had, and everybody's family's different. And I was kind of thinking, our son, you know, he has some challenges. And I remember in the beginning going through that and not knowing what was going on in his life, we kind of knew something wasn't right. And, but you always have a hope. Well, maybe there's some pill or some vitamin deficiency or something that they could do and everything will get well again. And you kind of just hanging on to that. And then I remember one day we were in the doctor's office and the doctor mentioned, and it was the first time I heard those words. I knew what it was, but he was saying it to us. He was saying, probably he's on the autism spectrum. And it kind of like, whew, we kind of knew, but nobody have ever said that in the position that he had. And I remember that day. I remember I was teaching. I was teaching a Sunday school class at Greater Portland. And a young Christian, older man in our church, and he kind of knew about the situation. I guess I was sharing about the situation. And he said, "Brother Rick, I don't understand. Why is that happening? Why you?" He says, "You try to help people. You're a preacher. You're a pastor. Why do things happen like that to you?" And I came back with, "Well, you know, God is in control." But you know what? I had those same questions. We had those same questions. But as a leader and as a pastor, I mean, okay, we're going to get through this. We're going to fix this. As a man, fathers, we're going to fix this. We're going to find a solution. We're going to get through this. We're going to power through it. That's the way we think, huh? That's the way we act. But I was reminded of the Apostle Paul. We're not sure what the Apostle Paul had or what. Some people believe he had some problems with his sight. Some people believe that he had some pain in his legs or some type of things in his body that caused him not to pain or whatever. They just caused him. And he asked God one time, or several times, "God, would you just take this away?" And he had some really good reasons. He says, "I could do so much more." If I didn't have these things. And three times he asked God to take those things away from him. And finally God came back and said, "You know what, you, Paul, you need these things. I'm not going to take them away. It's because of these things that I'm able to use you." And being a godly man, Paul said, "Okay, so be it. Let's go through it." So again, I remind us you're going to get some discouragement sometimes. And that's okay. God is faithful and there's hope. But I'm not going to say that, hey, there's pain involved. There's discomfort involved. And that's part of life. But there's a hope of heaven. There's a hope that God will carry us through. It's a hope of grace that God will carry us through and give us what we need to get through it. I don't know what clinical depression is like. I haven't studied all that, but I remember, and I my wife would probably say the same thing, and I know for sure, but there were some cloudy days. You know how it gets at the end of winter when it's raining and raining and raining, it just doesn't seem to stop. And you kind of get anxious and you're thinking, okay, enough is enough. I need some sunshine. And I have a feeling depression is like that. There's just a big cloud that just is hovering over you and it's constantly there and it's there. And you think, wow, I can't get out of this situation. It's just there. And I imagine Job was, it was just there. And he was losing that hope. But again, I remind you, it all ended well. It ends well. Because God carries us through. But I wanted to say all that because I want you to know that when you're a Christian, doesn't mean that there won't be some hard times. A matter of fact, we ought to expect hard times. But the difference between us is in the unsaved person, we have God's grace. And He'll carry us through. And though they slay me, I will trust Him. But again, He's saying there was some slaying going on. It wasn't all roses. It wasn't all easy. And sometimes very painful. And the outcome is good. And I'm not complaining. I'm not whining. I'm just telling you the facts of life. There's going to be hard times. And it's okay when there's hard times. But there's hope. There's hope in Christ. There's hope in Christ. Because God is our hope. Psalm 71 verse 5 says, "For thou art my hope. O Lord God, thou art my trust from thy youth." Psalms 146 verse 5 says this, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Our hope is in God. We have a good God. He carries us through. He carries our burden. Yesterday I was preaching at Donald D. Long and I was saying, you know, man, we got a good deal. God wants to carry your burden. When you get saved, when you trust Christ, not only does He forgive your sins, all those sins in the past and even your sins in the future, what a deal. And then He says, I want to carry your burdens. When you have hard times and when difficulties and challenges happen in your life, I want to be there for you. And matter of fact, I want to take those burdens. I want to carry them for you. What a deal. We have a good God. He died for us. He saved us. He chose us. Of all this Milky Way and all this big, huge world that we live in and all the planets in the universe, as I said in the past, and you look back, I think it was the thing that takes pictures. In 1977, they put up a telescope and it's taken pictures and it still continues to take pictures of all the things and it's millions and millions of miles away from us. In a few years after they shot it up to space, it turned around and it took a picture of the Earth. And compared to everything, the Earth was just a little tiny dot. Very tiny. A matter of fact, I forget how many years it took to get those pictures from that telescope to Earth. because the pixels, it took like years to get that full picture back to Earth, to transfer them back. And they were amazed, and the scientists were amazed, and they saw the Earth compared to how far that telescope has gone. And the Earth was just a little tiny speck compared to everything else in that picture. And I think about that, and it reminds me, God chose a little tiny speck of all His creation to come to us and die for us. Tiny, tiny, tiny little speck of earth. And we're much smaller than the earth. Why? What a deal. What a deal. And when for us to worry, for us to fret, and for us to complain, hey, there's hope. If the God, the creator of all this, He wants to be part of our life. If He could create that, He could take care of us. God is our hope. Romans 15:13 again. Now the God of our hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Again, we have Jesus. He's our hope. He's our hope. So there's hope in the Word of God. There's hope because of our salvation. There's hope in Christ. You know why? Because He's returning. He's coming back for us. He's going to meet us. Christ's return, 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth yet appear that we shall be, but we when we shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. He's coming back for us. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. He's coming back for us. He could come back tonight. And there's reason to rejoice when He's coming back. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. What we have to look forward to is heaven. Psalm 71:14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. We need to relearn to rejoice. We need to learn to rejoice. Learn to rejoice in hope. Romans 12:12 says this, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continue instant in prayer. So rejoice in that hope. Be patient in tribulation, continue instant in prayer. Do not focus on your limitations. Focus on God's power and possibilities. With God, all things are possible. He'll get you through. And so many times, what do? We focus on the limitations and not on God and His power. And I get it. It's easy to do, huh? It's easy to do. And it's so important that we teach our children, when we go through trials, we teach them the lessons that the Bible tells us, even today that we're hearing again. Hey, we're going to get through this, because they're going to have their challenges, and they're going to look back at us and see how we handled our challenges. And there's hope, and we need to handle them like God wants us to handle them. And how do we handle them like God wants us to handle them? Hey, we know that we have a God that could take care of us, that could meet our needs. So let's be careful not to fail to prepare the next generation, and don't limit God. Don't limit God. Psalm 71, Psalm 78, verse 1 reminds us, give ear, O my people, to the law. Incline thy ears to the word of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. He's done some wonderful works in our life, hasn't he? And we need to open that book and show our kids, this is what God has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed the law of Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children and the generation to come, that they know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be their fathers a stubborn and rebellious generation, and a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit is not steadfast with God. You know what this is reminding me of? We need to allow our kids to go through some hard times with us. And then we need to come to God. And we need to pray, and we need to act on faith, and we need to read the scriptures, and we need to do what God wants us to do and stay in God's will so that they could see how God could get us through. And I have a feeling sometimes we cover things and we hide things and we wanted things to look so good for our kids, and we hide and hide, and we don't share our burdens or our things that happen in our life, that God and victories that he's given us. And so they don't understand that. And maybe they go their own way and they don't really know how God could work, because they really never seen him work. And we need to allow them to see that. We need to share them with, so that they could have the faith that we have. And then, so failure to prepare the next generation, even though God did wonderful works and marvelous things, we ought to share it with them, and show them. And lastly, let me give you just one more thought. Remember, hope is our anchor. It's the anchor of our soul. Sure and steadfast. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18 says this, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who hath fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in that with the veil. Again, our anchor is in Christ. Our anchor is in God. Our anchor is in the hope that we have in God. And we need to hang on to that anchor, and we'll be in a safe place. Hope deferreth. Proverbs 13:12 says this, hope deferreth, make it a heart sick. Don't pass over that hope. There is hope. We have the same God that Abraham has, that he's talking about. And we need to hang on to Christ. We need to hang on to that hope that we have. And so again, the reminder is, hey, we're okay. We're in a good place. If you have Jesus, we have hope. And God is good, and he'll get you through, and he'll carry you through. And even during those dark times when it seems like there's no hope, there is hope. We just don't see it sometimes. And God is working and he's teaching us and he's growing us and he's maturing us, and he wants to use those things and those difficulties in our life so that we could teach it to somebody else and help them go through their difficulty. But again, our thing is always to point them to Christ. It's God. He's the one that gives us hope. It's not the lawyer. It's not the doctor. It's not the whoever it is that we look to that was going to fix everything and make everything well. No, it's God. Doesn't mean God doesn't use those people. But our hope is in Christ. There's hope in God. And we need to lean on him. We need to hold on to him. Because he'll get us through. And the older I get as a Christian, I know I'm rambling on here, but I just want to give God praise because he's a good God. Amen. And he does take care of us. He does meet our needs. There's always hope in him. And he deserves worship and he deserves praise. Because he's good and he's good all the time. Even when things are cloudy, he's good. We just don't see it sometimes. But with hope, there's light at the end of the tunnel. We know we're going to get through it because he's got us through it before, and he's going to get us through again. We have a wonderful God. What a deal. What a deal. What a deal. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I don't know why you don't. Because it's a great deal. He's a good God. You need to trust him. You're going to need him, by the way. You'll need him. The world's not going to help you. The devil's not going to help you. The flesh doesn't help you. It'll help a little bit, but it's not going to solve the problem. God solves the problem. Jesus solves the problem. There's hope. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you today. We thank you for loving us. My prayer is today, Lord, that we could be reminded of who you are and what you've done for us, and that you would just deserve the honor and praise tonight because of it. We're needy people. I admit that. I'm a whiner. I sometimes complain and I worry a whole lot. I shouldn't. But I know there's hope. There's always hope. Because you've shown me time and time again. You've got me through time and time again. And I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful. Help us now, Lord, to be a people of honor and praise, and help us to live for you. Help us to live this week for you. Help us to share our faith with others. Help us to share our stories with others so that we could show them what God has done for us. By chance, if there's somebody here today that would say, Brother Rick, I don't know God. I'm not sure if I were to die today that I would spend eternity in heaven, and I sure would like to know that. Or I have some things in my life today and I don't know that God will help me. I want you to know that he will. And if you accept him, if you trust him, and you put your faith in him, he'll help you and you're going to need him. But if you're here tonight and you have doubt whether you're saved or you know you're not saved, hey, don't leave here tonight without knowing Christ. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. He rose again for you in order that you could be his child. And he takes care of his children super well. You need to become his child. If there's anybody here that has any doubt whether you're his child or not, would you let me know by raise a hand? You say, Brother Rick, I need to be saved. Is there anybody here like that? Good. Lord Jesus, we're again thankful. We're reminded how good you are to us. I'm so thankful to be a child of God. I'm so thankful to know that you're going to meet my needs. Just like I meet my needs for my children, you meet your needs for your children. And I pray, Lord, if some are going through difficulty, I know some have gone through difficulty, and I know most all of us will go through difficulty again. Help us to lean on you. Help us to trust you. And when it gets cloudy and when it gets rainy in our life and it seems like there's, man, when is the sun going to shine? Just help us to know that you're in control. Help us to learn the lessons that you're teaching us. And then help us to rejoice. Help us to share those stories with our children. And help us to live a life, a hopeful life, a rejoiceful life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you.